We are the church. Just one person? Just one person believes that. We are the church. Amen. There we go. I heard amen from God the first time, and I heard from Dina, so I had kind of a stereo here, but I didn't know if any of you guys heard it from God also. He likes it. We're the church. Everyone that's part of his church, his family, that's why he sent his son. And his son said that his church, that the gates of Hades would not overcome his church. That's the power of the church. I can be the church. That's what our whole year has been about. And I promised you guys the beginning of the year, every sermon this year was going to be to lift you guys up and say, you can do it. You can be the church. Believe in yourselves. Believe in the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. The power of God's word guiding you. The power of just God himself as our Father leading us, giving us vision and direction. And all year long, it's been about that. And this today is going to be an extra special day in that direction. Let's go and review our mission and our vision, because these sermons that we're in, this is the third, or the middle, sorry. Let me go back. Can I calm down a little bit? All right. This is the second of three sermons. And so if you missed last week revealed phase two of our mission and our vision. And so it's up online. You can go and listen to that and kind of get caught up on what's going on. In August, we revealed the mission and vision, and we kind of let that soak in a little bit. You know, kind of like y'all, you know, my Dina gave my wife this friendship bread, and this stuff is living. It's nasty. It's gross. And it sits up on our counter, and she has to mush it every once in a while. So I feel like kind of like, you know, the mission and vision in August, it's just kind of been sitting here, and it's kind of been mushing and growing, and, you know, it's been sinking in. And great things have been happening, because when she put that bread in the oven and it came out, boy, I tell you what, woo, I'm having to suck it in this morning, so I look good. So, but the little fat ninja, but the but we gave that to you two months ago, and we promised that we'd be coming out with phase two of what our next step is, the strategies and the goals to help make our mission and vision happen. So let's review our mission. Our mission is, read this with me, revealing God through a church in motion. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor, tell them the vision statement, our mission statement. Okay, turn to your other neighbor, the neighbor that wasn't as important as the first one, and tell them. That's all right. We're going to be covering a verse here in a minute. It talks about how the first shall be last, so you guys will be lifted up also. Our vision statement is being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ. Not just connected to the heart of Christ. I mean, connected to the heart of Christ is great for you. It does nothing for the community. It does nothing for those that need Jesus. We need to be visibly connected to the heart of Christ in order to make a difference in our world, in order to be outstanding for God's kingdom. And that's what we want to do. That's part of our vision. We talked about that last week, being visibly connected to the heart of Christ. And then the second part is what we're talking about today. And that is by actively bringing hope to the community. By actively bringing hope to the community through serving. That's what we want to do. Roseanne's going to be talking a little bit about hope in a minute. And we're dead in line with that vision. We want to bring hope. We want to bring hope to our community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to that same heart and actions. We want to bring others into that idea of being visibly connected to the heart of Christ and serving. And then they'll serve and they'll help be part of the transforming process that Jesus allows us to be part of. And part of the reproducing process, so that we bring in more that are connected to the heart of Christ, that are visibly connected, that are serving. You get this. And that's what we want. That's our vision. So we're going to be talking about the middle part of that. Actively bringing hope to the community. Jesus says in Matthew 20, he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Okay, you see how it's done in the world, but things are different with you. You remember the upside down kingdom? Remember the spoons? Some of you guys, I'm going to pull the spoons out again sometime. You look at a spoon one way, and you're right side up, and your head's big. You turn a spoon the other way around, and you're upside down, and your head's little. That's the upside down kingdom. Turn your spoon upside down or backwards. Get a little head, and you're upside down. Upside down kingdom. It's upside down. He says, hey, you've seen how this works here. People in authority, they lord it over those who are lesser than them. It's not fun. Jesus says, not so with you. You're going to be different. You're going to be upside down. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And he throws this in here, just an amazing window. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served. And that's Jesus' reference to himself in Matthew, the Son of Man. God's only Son, he didn't come to be served. The King didn't come to be served. The Lord didn't come to be served. The Creator of mankind, of this earth, of the universe, he didn't come to be served. That's upside down. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's write that down. Let's flip your bulletins over. Let's take some notes this morning. I want to get you guys prepared for some of the special guests that we have here, our partners in ministry. I'm going to write that down. This is just straight out of the Bible. I want us to take note of this. I want you to take it home with you and remember this, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. All through Jesus' life, you can watch at how Jesus served and he served and he served and he served. When he was put in a situation, he found out a way to serve. When he was put in a conversation, he found out a way to serve them in that conversation, to be able to teach them and turn it into a teachable moment. You see that throughout his life. And then the pinnacle of that, just the climax of Jesus' service to mankind, was the cross. He gave his life and he says, this is what service is all about. And this is the biggest act of service that anyone could ever do for mankind. And he did it. He laid his life down for us on the cross. Matthew 16, just a few chapters earlier, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life must lose it. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. For what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Last little part there is kind of interesting. We'll be rewarded by what we've done. Action, service is important to Jesus. Now, some people might get a little confused on this. They're thinking, well, wait a minute. We're being rewarded for what we've done, but you've preached many times that salvation is free. It's not earned. That's correct. Salvation is not earned. It is a free gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit is free. It is not earned. You cannot earn those things. So, this reward that is spoken of many times in the Bible, this reward that comes from doing things, my best understanding, that's above and beyond. It's either some sort of reward that we get here, maybe a little kickback, a little throw-in every once in a while to help bless us as we continue to serve. Maybe it's something extra that we get in heaven. I don't know, but I know it's not those first two things because they're gifts and they're not earned. But we need to take notice that Jesus sees the things that we do and he says they will be rewarded. When we talked last week about thank you notes, and I told you, you know what, I'd much rather seek my reward from my God in heaven than through a thank you note from one of you guys. I mean, I love thank you notes. That lifts me up and that's encouraging. But I'm not going to live for your thank you notes. I'm going to live for his reward. And so Jesus says, you'll be rewarded for the things that you've done, service. Let's go back up to verse 24 if we can go on and flip on back to that one. He says to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must. Let's look at these three things. We're going to go old school today, okay? You guys know oftentimes I'm fairly contemporary, but not today. We're going old school. We're going to go with, how many points does a sermon normally have? 3 points. And then sometimes they go real cheesy and they have each point start with the same letter. Or they have like an acronym, you know, like AAA. Okay, so I did all of those today. So we're going old school, but I want you guys to take this home with you. Anyone must come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let's look at those three things and how they relate to being a servant. Deny myself, that is the servant attitude. To deny myself. To take up my cross is a servant action. Jesus said, way up here, That's what real service is. I want to give my life for you. I'm going to lay my life down for you. The Son of Man gave his life. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. So that was his example, his ultimate example, service. So as we as Christians, if we have the attitude of a servant and we're putting others first in our attitude, which I had to share a little bit on this first service, was that sometimes we get this mixed up and we think because we need to put others first, then we need to love ourselves less. And that's incorrect. We look at this falsely. Just because you're putting others first doesn't mean that you have to put yourself down or think less of yourself or think that you have less value than you do. Jesus says to love your neighbor. Okay, if you're not loving yourself, then how can you love your neighbor? Okay, so you still take care of yourself. You still love yourself because if you're not taken care of, you can't love other people. And these are lessons that I'm learning right now in my personal life. But the attitude is that we put others first in our service. We serve others. And that's a balance that we have to maintain. You can't serve unless you're right. But if you only focus on yourself, then no one's getting any benefit from that. So it's a balance there. So we serve in the attitude of a servant, to deny ourselves, to let go of some things that we would like to have or we would like to do because we want to serve others. And then the action of a servant. If we take up our cross daily, and that's just the utmost act of service, to lay your life down, to lay yourself down, then any other act of service is just a piece of cake when you can learn how to take up your cross. And that's great, great instructions for a church that wants to serve. You think, man, I'm not getting into it, I'm not serving, or I'm apprehensive. Take up your cross. Because then after that, anything that falls underneath that, okay, I'll do it. I took up my cross. This is a piece of cake. Serving here, helping out with Southwest Local Schools or helping out with Miami Historical Society or going down the street to the City of Refuge. Take up your cross. That's a servant actions. And then the final piece of that is follow Jesus, and that is servant allegiance. We follow Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our example. He's our Savior. And as a servant, our allegiance is to Him. He is the master. We are the slave. We do what He says. And so those are my three little parts. I've got some special guests here this morning that they're going to share with you a little bit about some of the service that this church has been involved in. And I wanted you guys to be able to see, because I hear from these guys, from their entities, some of them straight from their mouths, about how much this church has impacted them. And I just asked them, I said, you know what? Can the church hear it from your mouth instead of my mouth? They hear my mouth enough. So I've got some special guests here. The first guest that's going to come and share with you is Roseanne Moore. She is the director of the City of Refuge down the street. And so she's come to share with us. Diane Bachman is the president of the Miami Historical Society. Am I saying that right? Is it Miami Historical Society, Historical Society, Whitewater, Miami Town Historical Society? All right, I got it right the first time. What? It's bigger. All right, I interrupted. Miami Historical Society of Whitewater Township. There we go. MHSWT. That doesn't give us a good acronym. And then finally, we have Chris Brown, the Southwest Local School Superintendent. And we've been involved in each of these areas. And so they're going to come and share a little bit with you. And I'll open that up for Roseanne now. So if you can give them all a hand.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you today? Good. Great day to be alive, isn't it? Amen. It is. I want to share just a little bit, two things mainly in the few minutes I have is one, our gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness for all of you, and then a little bit more about City of Refuge. Some of you may know a bit about us, and some of you may not know much. So the first thing I want to do is thank you very much for everything that you have been involved in, and one is volunteering. You've sent a number of people over. Will Fisher, I know, I think he's supposed to be in here this morning somewhere, but he has, where are you, Will? Just say hello. I still don't see you. He's not, okay. All right. Well, Will has jumped in both feet and helped a lot in our food pantry. Cindy and Scott have been over there working. I see other faces that have come. Justin was the first one to dive in at City of Refuge and help us with our teenagers, 40 to 60 teenagers in one night. And you're like, I need help, young men. And so that's one way you guys have participated in a large way as volunteers. Secondly, I know people have told us they've been praying for us. And I never underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer is a priority that we all need to have, whether it's silently in our own lives or we come together corporately. So thank you so much for the prayers you've offered up. Third is partnering. You guys, I've been praying to partner with churches around our community. And you guys, Pastor Dusty, thank you. You're the first church that's allowed me to come in and share about City of Refuge. Because if you don't know that we're right down the street from you, if you don't know what we're doing, you can't get involved with us. And maybe that's part of where your heart belongs. And then lastly, financially, Will will come over and help in the food pantry, and people will send over checks with him and to help us buy food to fill our shelves in the food pantry. So thank you so much for being a part of City of Refuge. You're a bigger part than you even know and understand at this point. And then a little bit about City of Refuge. We're just a little over a year old. And our mission statement, and it's very important to have a mission statement, and I loved having yours up there this morning. Our mission statement is to be a place of hope, healing, and restoration. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier this morning in service was a lot of people, and I think these are awesome things. They like to go on mission trips in foreign countries. I think they're important. I think we're supposed to do that. A lot of people like to go downtown because there's prostitutes on the street and drug dealers and a lot of very heavy, serious problems. And I feel like God has called us, City of Refuge, to come to the suburbs. You know, a lot of times we think of these great needs or we see the greater needs, but we don't even see the needs in our own backyard. Needs of children left home alone after school. Things that I sometimes sadly hear about with, you know, sexual molestation. Things where a parent loses an income and a family's just devastated at that point. They're right in our own backyard, and that's what City of Refuge is. It's in our own backyard, in our community. So we're a place of hope first. Without hope, what do you really have? If you don't think you can get a better job or an education, or you don't think there's any chance your marriage is going to make it, or you don't think there's any chance that even if you go to the doctors, he's going to be able to help you. If you have no hope, there's nowhere to start. And Jesus Christ brought hope, right? He's the hope of the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we celebrate his resurrection. That's why we come together. We have to bring people hope. Secondly is healing. All of us need healing in one form or another. Some of us, it's emotional. Some of us, it's physical. Some of us just need to know that inside, things can get better, that hope becomes a reality. And so we want to bring healing to people. And lastly, and just as importantly, is restoration. Because when people's lives get restored, when they feel like they have hope, they feel like they have a purpose, they feel like they have direction, and they get restored, then they're excited about going out there and telling other people about it. They're excited about holding their heads up high and saying, yeah, I got a job. I'm able to go on to college now. My marriage was going down a wrong road, but we're together, and our kids see it. So we want to bring that to our community. And it's through a collaborative effort of the churches, of the school, of our historical societies, of our townships that we're going to do this. You know, Jesus Christ called us to be united as Christians. You know, the world doesn't know peace. He's the one that brings us our peace. So even when craziness is going on around us, we're the ones who can be still and know that he is God, and then work together to bring this to our community. So thank you again for letting me share and take a few minutes.
Good morning. I'm Diane Bachman. I'm with the Miami Historical Society, which is right next door. Over the years, Miami Town used to be a very viable antique town, if any of you remember. And over the years, it gradually declined and the businesses went away. And the organizations that were in town slowly disappeared. So the Historical Society, almost through default, took on things going on in the town that normally an historical society wouldn't do. We help with cleanups. We help. We sponsor the Christmas walk. Anything that's going on in town, we're pretty much in the middle of it somehow, because the organizations that were here years ago no longer exist. So we're really happy that the church has reached out to us to partner. We've participated with the church in the Christmas walk over the years, but this year we amped it up a little bit, and we got together to have a car show together in August, and it was a wonderful car show. We had nothing but compliments on it. The church sold baked goods, I think the youth group did, and it turned out to be a wonderful event. It was pretty warm out, but we had a good turnout. We had a lot of compliments, and it was just a wonderful first step for us to partner with you to do things in the community. And then after that, we got into the township cleanup. And Justin came to us and said, you know, I hear we're having a cleanup. We want to do something. So we partnered with them, and we spent a Sunday afternoon cleaning up around town. And one of the things that the church helped with was the cleaning up of the park and ride down the road here. And it was pretty nasty. But bless these kids. They just swallowed it, and they chin up, and they cleaned up that area, and it looks great. It looks a lot better. Not pristine. I don't think that area will ever be pristine, but it helped a lot. And then today, we asked them if they would be interested in decorating our Christmas tree that we have out front of the Historical Society every year. So that's what they're going to be doing, I believe, this afternoon. Is that correct? This evening. So we really appreciate that. Since I've been here this morning, because we spoke this morning service, I've had a lady that was that is the daughter of Sonny and Doris Hugentobler that has Sonny and Doris's Home Like Inn that her brother now runs. And she approached me to join the Historical Society. So this morning I'm going to have one more member in our membership because of partnering with you today. I also had Mike Natoff approach me about participating more in our Memorial Day parade, which we have through default now. And that's great, because it's hard to find people to participate or speak in the Memorial Day parade. So that was really nice. So just by being here this morning and partnering with you, I've had two people approach me that they want to help our organization. So I'm really touched that just in one morning that things have changed for us in a better way. Something that I'm looking forward to in the next few years is in 2016, Miamitown will be 200 years old. So in the next year or so, we're going to start planning what we want to happen to celebrate that mark in time. So if any ideas come to your mind, or anything in the past that you think we should bring up or incorporate into that, I would love to hear it. It's hard to believe we're 200 years old almost. But I was here for the 175th and the 150th. I didn't think I'd be around to participate in the 200th, but hopefully I will be. I don't want to say how old I'm going to be. And I chaired the 175th, and I can remember saying to myself, boy, I know for the 200th I won't be participating in this. Somebody else will. Well, I don't see anybody coming around so far, so I'm going to have to start to nurturing that idea with some people. But I want to thank everyone for participating and partnering with us. It's a wonderful thing, and together we can accomplish a lot of things together, a lot of good things. And I would just like to thank Justin. He's the one that really, you know, jumped on it and got on it with us and got things going. And I'm honored to help. in any way I can. And I'd like to leave you with, I heard one time an old Mexican saying, show me who you walk with and I will tell you who you are. And I'm very honored to be a part of the Church of Christ here and partnering with you, because it's an honor to walk with you. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. It's working. It's working really good. I asked Dustin this morning when I went up to talk, I said, can I walk around? Because I see a lot of familiar faces. And if you know me, the fact that I've sat there for 25 minutes at one sitting is a long stretch for me. So I asked him if I could walk this afternoon, and I appreciate that. First of all, I want to thank you for having me today, along with Diane and Roseanne. It's a great group, and we appreciate that. I want to thank anybody who is responsible for these kids being here today. So if it's parents or grandparents, please raise your hand. Whoever got these kids here, you don't know how important that is. All the research in the world shows that our best kids are kids who are involved in church or involved spiritually. There's no question about that. If you come to our graduation in the front row where we have our 20 top kids sit, those 20 kids are also involved in their church. They're leaders in their church. They're sitting in church on Sundays with their family. So thank you. If they're not Southwest students, I thank you for Mr. Gladfelder or wherever these other kids go to school. But thank you so much. It's great to see so many of them with their Harrison shirts on. Show us your Harrison shirts. All right. Dusty asked me to talk about some of the things that your church and all the churches are involved with in Southwest. When I became superintendent 4 years ago, I recognized the fact that kids who are involved in churches do better in school. So we reached out to all the pastors throughout Southwest schools. We held a meeting at the Activity Center. In the first meeting, we had about 16 people there, all pastors. You can imagine how that went. A lot of arms folded, a lot of eyeballing across the aisle. Now we meet once a month, and we average between 35 and 40 pastors every single month from all denominations. Father Jeff comes from St. John's down the Catholic school down in Harrison. Dusty's there. Doug Combs is there. Everybody across the district comes. And we share ideas and things that how the church can help us. We have what's called This City, His City, where you've seen the signs around town. This City, His City is our group of pastors coming together working with the schools. We have the Holy Rollers. Some of you were a part of that, and we thank you for that, where you came into the buildings and painted hallways in the summertime to get us ready. They painted equipment. They painted parking lots. They did all of those things to get our schools looking good. We've had some budget problems as well. We have the Whiz Kids in a lot of our elementaries, where church groups have sponsored our elementaries. They come in and they tutor our kids. They do things like that. We have youth ministers in our buildings every day, almost every day. They come and eat lunch with our kids. We have wildlife at the junior high, which is the precursor to young life, if you know what young life is. They do those things. They come and meet on Fridays. They have dodgeball and all those things in our junior high. We have tailgate parties. You guys have sponsored tailgate parties. We've sponsored fifth quarter, which is a thing after home football games where our kids can go, where parents know they're going to be safe and do good things. So we have a lot of opportunities. I told this last, the first service today. Coming up, we have 2 days of school this week, and then we're off. Yay! And it's been a long haul. This is the longest stretch we go through the school year without an off day. So kids are very excited. But we have a lot of our kids who aren't real excited about this Tuesday coming up, because school's the best place for them every day. So when they go home, they're not sure what's going to happen on Thanksgiving. The worst time of year for some of our kids is this time of year, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have kids who cry on the last day of Christmas break, if you can believe that. They're going home to be home for Christmas for 2 weeks, and yet they're still crying because they don't know if they're going to have a Christmas. They don't know if they're going to have a Christmas dinner. So the traditions that you have with your kids, cherish those. Those are very important to all of our kids. If you're looking for things to do, right across the parking lot's Miamitown Elementary, 70% free and reduced lunch. 70%. It's by far our highest building. A lot of need. A lot of things go on there with a lot of churches and groups like that really help Miamitown out. And I know Dusty's working to try to get even more things in there. So thank you for all that you do. We couldn't do it. We are now rated excellent with distinction, which we're very proud of in our district. We're not naive enough to think that that's just us. It's a lot of prayers, and we have great kids. We have great kids, and it makes our job very easy. So thank you, Dusty. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Isn't that exciting? I love that. I love what we've seen. I want you to take out your bulletin. I need to explain a little bit of things on this because there is a typo and some other things that are added. But take out this little sheet here. And the typo there at the top, that should be July 2011 to July 2012 because we haven't lived to the July of 2013. So it's not a future projection. It's a recollection of the past. And this is our community involvement through service from 12 months, from July of 2011 to July of 2012. The Christmas Care and Share, which we do every year. The Christmas Miami Town Walk, which we participated in every year. VBS, which we participated in every year. There are a few other things that would have been in this category, but they're kind of bridging parts. Because we revealed the vision and mission in August. But back in May, April, the staff was working on the new mission and vision, and we were looking at more service and looking at more things. And so we had a carnival at the Head Start. I just saw Holly. There she is. At Holly's Head Start in Camp Washington. And that was an outreach service event that did happen before August, but it was in line with that vision. It was in line with that the mission vision. We were Miyagi-ing you. You know, wax on, wax off, and then all of a sudden you find out you're learning how to block. Okay. So we had the Memorial Day parade where we passed out drinks and waters. And so down there, that was another act of service this summer that was leading up to August. We also had tailgating, which Chris mentioned, but we only tailgated once last year. This year we've tailgated 3 times. So if you look at this, the mission and vision was released in August, and look at that list in 2 months' time versus a whole year. Look at what you've done, church. Look at what you've been involved in. Look at these entities that you have been affecting and been involved in. And there's so much more opportunities out there, so much more opportunities to get involved. I encourage you to read through that. You have eyes. I'm not going to read it to you. But that's just, it's exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else happens. We have a church worth being excited about now, don't we? I think for a long time, and I'm cautious using this, but I think for a long time we were kind of like a little wounded bird. Would you agree? I mean, I don't want to be a negative and a downer, but we just kind of acted like that. We kind of sat and licked our wounds as a church and didn't do anything. Not much. Church, you're starting to experience what the power of the Holy Spirit is. You're starting to see the visions that he's giving us and go the directions that he's leading us. You're starting to see the power that we have of giving hope and bringing hope through service, revealing God through a church in motion. That's sticking. It's sinking in. It's getting into your spiritual pores. And I like seeing that. We've got a lot more to come. We've got a church worth being excited about. We've got a gospel message full of hope that's worth being excited about. Being partnered up with these various partners on this side of the river is worth being excited about. Lots of great things and lots of great things to come from that. But as we shared last week, we're wanting to expand over across the river. We've got the map there, and it's a portion of the Coleraine Township. Coleraine Township is bigger than that blue portion. But that blue portion is what I'm calling our backyard. The pin right here, if you weren't here last week, the pin is our church. Right there, Ryan's showing us where it is. And our backyard is right over here. And I explained last week that there's a new sewer system going in, and I'm really excited about a sewer system. Okay, and I am, because that is allowing all of this land up here that used to be farmland, it's being developed, and people are moving in there. These red dots represent churches. There's not a large church presence there. And so ironically, as that was farmland before, now it's being developed into residential. It is becoming our farmland. The harvest is ripe, church. And so what we want to do is we want to continue serving and working in this direction. We're going to get to our action steps, and that's part of that. But we also want to mimic this on the other side of the river. And it's going to be more difficult. We had some connections with Chris Brown as he started reaching out towards us. Northwest Schools, they're more open. I've heard that they're very open for church involvement, but they're not reaching out the way that Chris Brown is reaching out. We're going to have to reach out to them. We're going to have to start the handshake, okay? Or the organizations, you know, once we continue to work through Coleraine, if we can expand further into Coleraine, there would be a need for another city of refuge or an entity like that I don't know what the future holds. I'm just throwing some things out, what could be, what might be. And what we've learned from our partnership so far, we have no idea what the value of that in years to come is going to be. 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Our partnership with the Historical Society here. Diane skipped a story, a very touching story. Can I share your story? No? Yes? Okay, she shook her head no, but she said yes. So she said she was over there about a year ago, you said, and she just felt overwhelmed. No one else was participating in the community. She was taking care of all these things by herself. No one else was stepping up and helping. And she prayed. She said, God, I need help. And Dick Cady came along not too long after that and said, hey, I want to be part of the Historical Society. Church, we're a part of that answered prayer also, coming along and partnering. And I really wish you could have seen what she was sharing. And maybe that was too emotional to share the second service. But you could see the burden, you could see the hurt, and the need for partnership like our church. And we're right here. It's our community. We need to see it as our responsibility, not just as a community, but as children of God, God who loves people. And we need to do that here so that we can also learn how to do that over the river and do that in both places. Action steps, let's hit these real quick. You're going to have to remember these. We didn't have any space to write them down. Very simple. Continue your support and your involvement in the current internal ministries of this church. We need to continue excellence in everything that happens here. Our partners in ministry here, they kind of got a little bit of a culture shock. The two services are pretty different, aren't they? It's amazing. And that's something we've done with intent. We want a service like the church you grew up in. And we want a service that's come as you are. And just worship and lift it up, scream and yell if you want, you know, raise your hands, let's have some awesome, you know. And so we've got both services and we try to do excellence in both those services. We want that across the board, intentional, excellent ministry all across the board. Because when we do outreach and people do come in here to find Jesus and to find hope, if they don't see excellence in ministry, then that communicates to them that we don't care. We don't care about them. We don't care about our church. We don't care about our faith. How do we expect them to take our faith seriously if they can't visibly see that we take our faith seriously? So we need people involved and continued involvement in internal ministries here to make it excellent. And if God's calling you and you're saying, you know what? There's already someone in that position and I feel like God's leading me. Go into that and ask them if you can partner up and help them. They might be feeling called to do some external ministry, but they can't because they're having to hold down the fort here. So go. Go where God is leading you. Get involved. Continue your involvement in internal ministries. The second action step, we got three of them here, is continued service with our existing partners on this side of the river. Christmas Walk is coming up. If you haven't signed up, sign up. Be here. Be a person. Be a presence. Even if you're just standing around, you are a person. You show that we care. You show that we want to be involved with our community. You show Miss Bachman here that you want to be involved and help out in our community and be a partner with her, a true partner with her in the Miami-Town Historical Society of Whitewater Township. There we go. I got it now. I get a gold star for the day. If I keep going, I'll get a little mini Snickers. That'll be awesome. City of Refuge, we have the Thanksgiving dinner coming up. That's Tuesday. We have the Christmas family fun night coming December 3rd. We have the information out there on our Help Wanted boards. If you want to get involved, pull a little slip off and call Will Fisher. Say, hey, I want to do this. I want to get involved. You know, that'd be a great date night. Sounds goofy, but I'm dead serious. You serve side by side with your spouse, it's going to bring you closer together. And you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to go home feeling fulfilled. Much better than, the new James Bond flick. Even though it was pretty awesome. It'll be even better than that, all right? Southwest Local Schools, we've got all sorts of opportunities there. And he was talking about the kids that are in need of food. And last year, we partnered up with them, and we were a source of distribution for their food. What do you call that program? United Methodist Church. Okay, so they feed 140 families. And last year we were distribution. And this is separate from our Christmas baskets that we give. This is an additional. And I want to see our church be more aggressive in that. How can we help you? How can we partner up with you? And maybe there's something in the future where our Christmas Care and Share is part of that too. I don't know. My idea is to send this to you guys because I don't want this to be a church where it's just me or just some of the leaders or the staff saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. Do it. You know, I don't want that. I want this to be a church where I do my part, and that is I get you guys excited. I equip you with God's word, and then you get the ideas. God brings them to you. I want you to be part of the excitement. There's nothing more exciting than hearing God's Holy Spirit speak to your heart and say, I want you to do this. And you say, here I am, Lord, send me. That's exciting, and I want you to experience that. So I'm throwing out some ideas, and if any of these hit home and it hits in your spirit and the Holy Spirit says, that's the one for you, then get up and run with it. And thirdly, we're going to be looking for new partners. We're going to be finding new partners across the river. One thing, Chris had mentioned that there is WizKids over on this side of the river. An opportunity we have is WizKids on that side of the river. There are a number of schools in the Northwest School District, and that's a way to start moving into the school district and to start making a relationship with them is WizKids. That's a realistic program. It's easy to get involved in. We've already got a ministry leader that has committed here. We've got some other people that are very excited about it. White Oak Christian Church has offered to give us any kind of help and the training that we need. It is going to be an easy thing to get involved in. We need people, and we need people to say, this is for me, and this is what I want. I want to run with it. And as soon as I've got a team that says I want to go with it, then go run. Because I'm going to get back to my job that God has given me. And so this is going to be exciting. So those are your three action steps. Continue in the internal ministry. Continue with our existing partners. And let's look for some new partners. We are going to reveal God through a church in motion. Amen? Amen. By visibly being connected to the heart of Christ. Bringing hope to the community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to that same heart and actions.